This is Digital Story Podcast number 565, January 3rd, 2017. Today's theme is Something to Look Forward To. I'm Derek Story. Have you ever had a friend tell you, "I just want to get something on the books. I like having things to look forward to." It's a very human emotion. In a lot of ways, I think it's an expression of hope. And it's a concept that applies well to our photography too, as I will discuss on today's show. When we're standing at the threshold of a new year, most strive to make the 12 months ahead better than those in the rearview mirror. And one of the ways that I think we can do this is to plan for activities that will bring goodness to our lives. An area that's rich with possibilities is photography. It offers so many opportunities in a variety of ways, a few of which I'm going to discuss right now. First one, enter a photo competition. We get to a certain point in our photography and we sort of forget about these things. You know, there's something that we tend to be more excited about earlier in our careers than later, because earlier in our careers, we want to get established. We want that recognition. We want that feedback. And then later on, maybe we're not as concerned about it, or we become jaded, or you know, all the things that happen to us as we go through life, including life with a camera. But I have to tell you, there are a few things that feel better to a photographer than having his or her image earn a top prize. So you get all the attention, you get the possible financial rewards, and you get a solid affirmation that, you know, we're getting better, we're improving. So there's that whole side of it, but there's more to it too. And I know about this because I help people prepare for photo competitions. Some of my students are very interested in them. And so the other side to it, I think, is just as important. What happens when you put your mind to entering an image or a handful of images into a contest is that I think it brings out the best in you as a photographer, because you go through this whole process. You go through this whole process of, you know, selecting the right images, and then you really want to work on them. Work on them in a way that maybe you wouldn't otherwise. Really spend more time with it. Maybe spend time getting feedback from others about, you know, what you're working on, trying to decide which is the right one or which is the right couple to send into this competition. So you do all that ahead of time. And then regardless, even if you didn't send it in to the competition itself, you still have these very refined images in your image catalog, which you can use for other things. You could use it for other competitions. You could use it for your portfolio. You could just use it as a collection of shots that you make sure come up on your screen when you open Lightroom or Capture One Pro or Photos, right? Yeah, those are some of the shots I took, right? Hey, I do that. I don't have the Bow Wows come up on the screen. I tell you that right now. No, when I leave that application, I leave it to where there are at least 3-star shots that are going to come up when I reopen it. You know, there's all of that kind of stuff. And then the fact of entering the competition itself, then there is some sort of deadline and then some sort of date when they're going to let you know if you made the cut or not. And that date, that's something to look forward to, right? There's something there that you go, you know, I probably don't have a chance, but maybe, just maybe I'll hear something on this date. So now you have something on your calendar that's other than your 9-to-5 job, that's other than all the responsibilities you have, it's other than all the mundane things in your life. There's something on your calendar that has the possibility of being really great. And if not, if you don't win, if you don't make the cut, then you still have that image and you still can do it again. And now you don't even have to do all the work. You just have to enter a different competition and then you get something else on the books. So a photo competition, I think, is a very cool way to have something to look forward to. Now, there are a couple things that I want to mention about photo competitions. do your research on the competition. You know, read all of the material that they publish about it. Read what other people have said about it. You know, I wouldn't enter stuff that has a real high entry fee because those just seem like money makers to me. Take a look at who's judging and how many judges there are. It's usually better if there's multiple judges, and it's even better if they tell you their names. Those being said, those are sort of due diligence for your competition. Once you've done that, go ahead and do it. And if you haven't done one for a while, consider it. Consider getting something on the books to where, who knows, you may get some very good news. Okay, I have another one for you. Plan for a photography vacation. There are so many benefits to getting out of our own backyard and exploring a different part of the country with our cameras. In addition to the pictures that we would capture just going somewhere else, we tend to meet new people, taste different foods, and in general, broaden our understanding of the world. And you don't have to go to the other side of the world. For instance, I'm in California. If I just go to New Mexico, for example, which is still on the western side of the U.S., that's a whole different planet, as is Arizona, as is Wyoming, right? That's not, I'm not even talking about going, you know, all the way to North Carolina. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll give you a perfect example, in fact, of this. When I was in my 20s, I was a bit of a free spirit. And some of my favorite people were, you know, the people that actually had traveled, you know, writers who had explored the world, Jack London, for example. I did this thing where I would get on a train and I would go somewhere, and I had my camera gear with me. And one of the trips that I took went from Southern California to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I go there on my winter break, and everything looked different to me. The environment looked different. The restaurants look different. I go into a restaurant. I like Mexican food because I grew up in Southern California. But Southwest cuisine is a little different and delightful. And suddenly I'm learning about, you know, how this food tastes. And it tastes great. And so I'm placing an order and they would go red or green. And I go, oh, I don't know, both. So I get a red sauce and a green sauce, which I discovered that's what that meant later on. And they just tasted divine. I got wonderful pictures. I still have fiber prints in my portfolio from that trip. But as much as I enjoyed that trip and getting those pictures, I, you know, all the different parts of it, meeting the people and tasting the food. And to this day, it's a warm spot in my heart. It's funny, when you think about these kind of trips, let's say a workshop. Those of you that sign up for the reserve list of my workshops, the minute that you put your name on that reserve list for whatever it happens to be, San Francisco, the Chicago to New Orleans rail adventure, the North Coast tour, the Northern California Coast tour, or the wine tasting, the minute you put your name on that reserve list, don't you feel a little sparkle inside? Don't you go, you know what? I'm probably going to go to this thing, or I'm hoping I can go to this thing. So suddenly, my June, my April, my October, my August looks very interesting. And I know that no matter what happens the rest of the year, I'll probably have this really cool adventure. And all you had to do is put your name on a reserve list. Same thing if you decide to just book your own trip or sign up for another workshop or something. The minute you start doing the planning for it, for that thing that's going to happen up the road, it lightens your load at the moment. At the moment. So if you're doing something in June and you start planning it in February, March, April, and May tend to be all better months than they would have been if you weren't doing this thing in June. So this anticipation, this planning for, this looking up the road can be something that just makes your day-to-day life better. And I just think that's really cool. So planning a photography vacation, planning an adventure, planning a workshop, it has to be something that you really want to do, okay? I'm not talking about the family vacation where you go see the relatives in Florida that you do every year. Now, I'm not knocking the relatives in Florida at all. I'm just saying that that is not what I'm talking about because you're probably not really looking forward to that all winter. In fact, it just is like it comes up on you and go, oh, honey, do you know we're leaving in a month to go see your family? Yeah, I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about something that you really want to do that's really exciting that you can do, and then you can go see the family in Florida. Alrighty. Save for, then purchase, a new camera. This is different than just slapping an impulse buy on your credit card. This is a whole different activity. What I'm talking about is, let's say this time of year, you identify something that you want to add to your camera toolkit. And it could be a brand new body. It could be switching over to mirrorless. It could be adding that lens that you always wanted. And it's something that costs a little bit of money, right? It's not a $49 purchase. It could be a $1,500 purchase or a $2,500 purchase, something like that. But you really think that it's going to bring you joy, it's going to make you happy, help you shoot more, make you, you know, a little bit better at your craft, you know, has all those wonderful things. Once you identify that, then instead of just buying it on the credit card, then having this big thing hit your credit card, which I think is like more of a downer, right? And plus it leaves you vulnerable to buyer's remorse. You go, oh God, why did I do that? You know, why did I just put $1,800 on the credit card? I'm already, you know, have a balance of $4,000 or whatever. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is different, is that you identify what you want and then you build a plan on how to get it with a goal of when you'll have the money and when you can make the actual purchase. So let's say that you're building the plan right now in January. You're building the plan and you go, I want to make the money happen by June of this year to buy, let's say, a Fujifilm X-T2 or an Olympus OMD EM1 Mark II, something like that, something that's substantial. I want to have the money by then, and then I want to make the purchase in June. Of course, when I have the money, I'll double check the market to see if that is the proper item I should buy. But assuming that it is, I'll make the purchase in June. And then when I get the camera, I will have it free and clear. I don't have to worry about buyer's remorse. I don't have to worry about, should I put that on my credit card? I don't have to worry about anything because I had the money that I earned specifically for this project. And this could be setting aside a little bit of money every month out of your paycheck. This could be doing freelance work. This could be selling equipment that you haven't been using in order to raise the capital to buy this new thing. Whatever it is, put together a plan. It's like a little business plan with milestones and an end date. And then, of course, you can always revise your plan if it doesn't go the way that you anticipate. Maybe you won't have the money till July or August. Well, you know, business plans need to be revised sometimes. Either way, it doesn't make any difference. You are working towards something up the road that is cool and that you really want and that you're going to have a really good feeling about how you got it. I love this approach to things. I remember I did this when I wanted the Canon 70D. I had the 5D Mark II at the time. But I wanted the 70D also because I wanted the APS-C sensor. They were finally getting the live view focusing down, and it shot great video. So at the time, I was going, wow, this is really a cool camera. But I did not want to put that thing on my credit card account. So I actually had an envelope. I just started, you know, like with a number 10 envelope. And I put the name of the camera on there and I put the date when I wanted to buy it. And then I just started raising money. I started selling things. I sold some things on Craigslist. And then I sold a couple things on Amazon. I did some additional freelance work and I put the money in the envelope for that. And I just built up this fund until I had the money. And then once I got the money, it was so cool, that feeling of just having it. Right there, I go, wow, I've got the money. I made the purchase. I got the camera. And I never had 1 second of remorse. Plus, the whole time I was working toward it, it made me happy. Save for, then purchase a new camera or lens, try this method. It is really a cool way to get gear, and it's one that I guarantee not only will you enjoy it when you have the item itself, but you will actually enjoy the process of working toward it. Okay, I have one more for you. Volunteer your services. There are so many areas that could use skilled photographers, but they don't know how to find them, or they can't afford them, or it's not even on their radar that they need it. You know, they're Jesse's got an iPhone, he's doing okay. Well, so, you know, there are a lot of opportunities. It could be like the local food bank, churches, schools, amateur sports teams. You know, these are the kinds of things. And preferably something that you're already involved in or something that you have a passion for. And then just volunteer your photography services. Now, it's not like just open forever kind of thing. What I'm talking about, let's take Little League Baseball. And so here we are in January. Little League Baseball starts, I don't know, I'm guessing in June. Let's say in June. And so you go, I would love to shoot this season for you. I'd love to volunteer. And I'll provide all the images, and all I need is access and maybe a free snow cone every now and then, something like that, right? Got to get a little something out of it, a little perk, right? If you do that, right, if you set that up, first of all, you have a good feeling because you're volunteering your services towards something that you like. Second of all, it's coming up in the summer, let's say, for example. So then you can be saying, you know, while you're having conversations and doing, oh, yeah, well, no, I can't do that during the first part of summer because I'm shooting for this little league team or this little league. And so I'll be doing that then. Well, that feels kind of neat. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I've got this commitment to do something with my photography. And in turn, that gives you something to look forward to, something that is coming down the road. And it's a good thing. You know, it's just like, yeah, I'm doing this really good thing. I'm using my skills for good. So volunteering your services, and especially where it's defined, you have this special event, I'd love to shoot it for you. Season, whatever it happens to be. You know, this is a program that you're going to produce, whatever. And then you have it on the calendar. And then you get to look at it and feel good about being a good person, right, for volunteering your services and the opportunity to produce something that's beautiful and something to look forward to up the road. So those are just some ideas as we're standing here at the threshold of 2017 to have something to look forward to. You know, I think that this is going to be a good year. I think this is going to be a year of challenges, but why not hedge our bets by getting a few things on the calendar that we know we're going to like and that we know is going to help make 2017 a good year. In the news. So I have an update for you on this Brides magazine insistence that pros shoot Canon or Nikon. I'm sure you've seen this story. If you haven't seen this story, it created a little bit of brouhaha on the web because Brides magazine, you know, these are the same folks that, I don't know, about a year ago, they said you shouldn't feed the photographer at the wedding. Everyone got all up in arms about that. And that's something that would irritate me because when I used to shoot weddings, I was looking forward to that meal, I tell you. Anyway, so now this year, they come out with this story where they're saying that, you know, you should ask your potential wedding photographer what type of equipment he or she uses, and it should be Canon or Nikon. And everyone's going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, so there's all this flap. What F-Stoppers did was they actually contacted the woman that said that, you know, produced that content for the article, and asked her, you know, hey, is that what you meant? And it was pretty interesting. I'm super glad they did that. I thought that was good journalism. And so I want to read you a little bit from this article. And then I have the link to the article in the show notes. Of course I do. So you can click and go see the whole thing. But I thought this was cool that they did this. Here's a bit from the article. I'm just going to read it. Brides approached Matsura. And Matsura was the photographer who said this. Brides approached Matsura with an article proposition, providing couples a guide for choosing a photographer. In response to the question, besides the quality and style of photographs, what else should brides be thinking about? Matsura proposed a series of more detailed questions, one of which was, what type of equipment do you use? In addition to the proposed question, Matsura offered hypothetical answers that a photographer might give a client in an effort to further illustrate the type of interactions a couple might expect with a potential photographer. These hypothetical answers included the conversational assertion that professionals use either Canon or Nikon cameras. So what she wrote was, when she wrote this, here's what she wrote. Your photographer should know their equipment. Canon and Nikon are the most readily used cameras, but there are many other well-known professional cameras out there. Whatever your photographer does choose, it's good to make sure that he/she is well-versed in their equipment. So that's what she wrote. But it was changed to, ideally your photographer would use the most readily available professional camera, and then they went on to say, which is Canon or Nikon. So this author was a victim to editor who did her wrong, in all honesty. And then not only that, then she had to suffer the slings and arrows of all these irate mirrorless photographers online who said, what the heck? You know, how 2005 is that, you know, what you're saying? So what I liked about this story, that F-stoppers, you know, the F-stoppers part of the story is that we tend to get in such a flap over stuff on the internet. Really, we do. We get so excited about it and have these quick reactions and so forth. And a lot of times, like so many things in life, there's a story behind it that makes it make sense. Now, we still may disagree with whatever went down, but there's probably some information that at least you go, oh, okay, well, I could understand how that could happen. And I just think there's more to everything in life than we initially realize. I'm getting a new door on my house. The front door of the house, the one that we inherited, is horrible. It's like one of these steel doors, and it has a bunch of dents in it. I don't know what happened before I got the house. I don't know if they were, you know, pounding things on the door or whatever. Anyway, it's just dreadful, and it's been on the list forever to get it replaced. And procrastinate, because, you know, these things can be expensive. And then finally, the whole lock assembly just fell apart, and, you know, I had to sort of jerry-rig it together and go, okay, that's it. We're getting a new door. Well, of course, saying that statement, that's it, we're going to do a new door, that's one thing. And then when you find out what's involved, you know, there's the door itself, and then there's the hardware that goes on the door, and then there are the hinges, and then there's the frame. And chances are you need a new frame because your old frame's probably messed up. And then there's, you know, the weather stripping, and then there's the the jam, you know, below. I mean, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. And then finding someone to do it, because believe me, the one thing you don't want to do is hang your own door, right? Unless you really know what you're doing. Well, you need someone that does. So, you know, and, you know, so the boys will go, hey, how come you haven't got that new door yet? You know, they're just thinking like, you know, it's like ordering a pizza. It's not. There's more to everything in life than we realize. Sometimes we just have to give people a break, or at least try to find out more what's going on behind the scenes. I thought F-stoppers did a good job with this, getting the backstory on what's going on here, and I think that's really cool. Do you have an old Pentax DSLR? Now, the reason why I'm asking you this is this comes out of the film camera shop that I run on Etsy. Something I just love. I love that shop. I just love running the film camera shop. It's so much fun. So I have a lot of Pentax cameras in there. I like Pentax cameras. I like Yashica. I like Contax. I like the Minoltas, like the X700s. And I like some of the older Canons too. So, you know, these are cameras that I have film versions of and I have lenses for and that I test. Well, I have a pretty good collection of Pentax lenses right now, Pentax F and FA lenses. I have a 35 millimeter F2. I have a 50 millimeter F1.7 Pentax F. I have the 100 millimeter F3.5 macro. So I got some of these neat lenses. And I want to do some testing with them on digital bodies, because I think one of the things that I want to be able to talk about, and one of the things that makes Pentax cool, is that their lenses basically work on all cameras through the analog and digital spectrum. But I don't have any digital bodies right now to test these lenses on. I only have the film cameras. And I want to do some testing on the digital side too. But I don't want to go out and buy a new SLR body right now. It's just not in the budget, especially for this that could possibly fall into the category of plain. Yeah, okay, it is plain. But it's fun plain, and I like doing it. So here's what I was thinking, that if any of you out there have an older Pentax DSLR that you're not using anymore, you've already upgraded, replaced, whatever, and you're willing to let it go affordably, that could help me out. And if that is the case, if you have one that you're not using that you wouldn't mind letting me use it, that would be fantastic. Because to tell you the truth, I was looking on eBay and so forth, and I don't mind buying the occasional analog camera off eBay, but the whole digital thing, just I was just going, ugh. I don't know. I don't think so. So if you have that and you wanna contribute to the cause, just write me, Derek@thedigitalstory.com. That'd be really cool. And then we'll pick up the conversation and figure out if we can make that happen. CES this week. Probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, I'll be at CES in Las Vegas. That's the Consumer Electronics Show, which means there are going to be updates this week from CES. There'll be Instagram pictures, stuff on Facebook, an article or two. Always good fun to see what those wacky folks come up with at CES. And I mean, some of it really is wacky, I have to say. And some of it's very exciting. And I'll be looking at all of it. If you're interested what's coming down the road in 2017, keep an eye on the sites this week. And then I'll do a story on it on next week's podcast too, and help you stay up to speed. Alrighty, so CES this week. Tune in if you like that kind of stuff. Personally, I do. And finally, let me see, updates here. Well, I'm going to start with Red River Paper because, boy, are they in the news right now for me. In the fact that we're working on out of Chicago. And so, as I mentioned before, they're getting me to out of Chicago, and they're putting me up, and I so appreciate their support. In turn, I've been working on my talks at out of Chicago, and we're all in the process, all the instructors are getting that turned in right now. And I think the out of Chicago folks are going to open up registration later this month, which is really exciting, I am jazzed about the talks in the workshop that I'm doing. So I worked hard on them. I did. I worked hard. And again, a big thanks to Red River Paper for getting me out there. I love the opportunity to visit our Virtual Camera Club members out that way, east of California, because, you know, it's hard for me to get out there, and especially in an environment where I'm so accessible. And out of Chicago is such an accessible environment. So it's just, it gives me my East Coast Midwest spot for the year. And it's something that I have to look forward to. And then if you've been following what's going on with our workshops, I'm going to do out of Chicago. And then the next day, our Chicago to New Orleans rail adventure workshop begins. So, I mean, if you really want to have something fun to look forward to, go to out of Chicago and then go with me to New Orleans on the train. Yeah, that will make everything that leads up to June a lot lighter, believe me. Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they make fantastic inkjet paper. And they sell it at very reasonable costs. And they are people that love photography and love supporting our photography community. Also want to mention that our Patreon members, they're stepping up to the plate. Boy, some of you guys, I so appreciate it. Really, we got a little flurry at the end of the year. And we got, as I mentioned last week, some individual supporters too. Some one-timers. Totally appreciate it. We have no caste system here. All supporters are on equal footing. So thank you all. And thanks for helping me keep the lights on. I love doing this show. And I love it that some of you value the show enough to help me keep it going. So thanks to all of our Patreon and our one-time supporters of the Digital Story Podcast. Alrighty, I got to catch a plane. I got to go to Las Vegas. So I'm going to go take care of that. You have a great week. Think about these things to look forward to. I'll tell you, it makes a big difference. And I want you to have a great 2017. I want us all to have a great 2017. And we can share our pictures and share our stories over the course of the year. And let's just keep this thing going. All right, until next week, I'll see you then. Have a great week.